Dear Lord Jesus, I just thank you today. That yesterday is gone, but today is a new day, a new beginning. You're with us right in here and now. Your spirit is moving among us, Lord. You're doing a work and a wonder in every heart and life. Lord, you having begun a good work in us, are faithful to complete it. And we believe in you, Lord. Our hope is in you, Lord God. Though we may stray, Lord God, you are always there. You're always steadfast. You're always faithful, God. And you're always committed to us. And God, so we come to you today, Lord. Lord, if there's any unforgiveness in me, forgive me. Help me to let go of the past. Help me to let go of those who've hurt me and offended me. Give me the grace, Lord, to forgive. And God, forgive me of any of my sins. Lord, if there's any sin in my life, in my heart, please forgive me right now. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Wash me in your precious blood. And renew a steadfast spirit within me, Lord. Clothe me once again, hallelujah, in your holiness. Fill me, Lord, so that my cup will overflow. And I'll be a blessing in every place. In Jesus' name, amen. Title of the message this morning is simply, He Came to Save. Hallelujah. You know, we weren't looking for Him. He came looking for us, all right? So remember that when you think you're doing so good, that it wasn't because you were good, it was because God was good. And God has enabled you to live the life you can live today by His Spirit, by His grace. And so we are indebted to Him, a debt of love we owe, amen, to give our lives back to Him, to serve Him the rest of our days. Hallelujah. And how many know that when Jesus walked this earth, He never drew attention to Himself? Don't overthink that. Jesus never drew attention to Himself. It was always to who? The Father, right? He was always pointing to the Father. And so Jesus wasn't looking for fan club. He wasn't looking to please people. He came to please the Father. He came to do the will of the Father, and it cost Him even His life. But He came to do what He knew was necessary for us to be brought into new life, to be redeemed, to be purchased. Amen. We were, if you will, like a slave on the slave auction. They were auctioning us off. We were entitled to a life of slavery because of the sin. Amen. And we were in a debtor's prison. We could never pay the amount that we owed due to transgression and sin. But God, in His mercy and His love, sent Jesus to die on our behalf to set us free from that. Amen. He paid the price for our sins. And God wants you to know that today He is here to forgive if we will repent and turn to Him with our whole heart. Amen. He will forgive. He will cleanse. He will renew and make everything new. Aren't you glad that every day His mercies are new? Every morning, the Bible says His mercies are new. It's a new day, a new beginning. Amen. So we're not going to go back and revisit the garbage from yesterday. Amen. Because God has said, listen, I've forgiven you. Now you need to let it go. You need to let it go. Amen. Let's determine from this point on that we're going to walk with Jesus. Amen. And if we stumble along the way, we call on Him right away. Amen. And He wants us to know that we are forgiven, so that we'll have confidence in serving Him. You know, if you're living in guilt and shame and condemnation, then you don't have confidence in serving God. Isn't that true? You know, the enemy wants to come in and he wants to rob you of your purpose, you know, of God's plan for your life. So he uses accusation. But we need to look to the author and finisher of our faith. We need to look to our great high priest, amen, whoever lives to make intercession for us, calling upon the name of Jesus Christ, the only one, amen, who can forgive our sins. And receive that by faith, that what God promised, He will do. Sometimes I don't feel forgiven. Imagine that. Does it mean you're not forgiven? Not necessarily, right? The enemy will mess with your emotions sometimes. In fact, quite often. That's why we need to maintain the flame and keep, amen, a supply of oil on our lamps and stay filled with the Holy Spirit. So the inner man is overcoming the outer man, and the outer man isn't dictating how we feel in the moment. Or even if we have a fleeting emotion, we're not going to yield to it and think that somehow that's God. Because the enemy knows how to work through our emotions. That's why he uses music so craftily in the world today. Because he manipulates people through music. Music can be good. It can be evil too, I believe. Now, Isaiah gives us a description of our Lord. In Isaiah 53:2, my servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. So in God's eyes, Jesus was like this exotic plant, you know, a tender plant in the world of sin. You know, he was the sinless one, the perfect one that came into this sin-sick world. All of us were tainted by sin. Amen. We were because of Adam's sin. But Jesus came as a pure offering. Amen. Who took upon himself the form of a servant. He took upon himself a body so that he would, amen, be able to bear the sins of the world. And so it says that he was likened to a root in dry ground. Now, Israel was certainly the dry ground. And the nation of Israel could see no beauty in him. And the Bible says there was nothing in appearance to attract them. And a lot of times, guys, in this world, we do esteem appearance as so important. You know, but God looks upon the heart, the inner beauty, amen, the character of us. And that's the most important part of us, is the part that you don't see. And I certainly encourage appearance, good appearance, right? Take care of yourself, brush your teeth, wash, right? Strongly encourage that. But it's not all about how we appear outwardly. God sees beyond that. And sometimes, you know, well, the world is looking for something that appears to be lovely. And because there is a lot of ugliness in this world, you know. And so sometimes we put up facades because we don't want people to see who we really are. And there's no such thing as faking it until you make it. Amen. Either you are in Christ or you're not. Either you're a new creation or you're not. But Jesus was raised in a poor family, born in a manger, hung out with fishermen and common people. And he was like your average Joe in the natural. In Isaiah 53:3, it says he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. And we turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. You know, I've known people that people have despised simply because they looked a certain way. And they did not understand and realize that they were such a treasure to this world. One of the most godliest men that I had the privilege of being mentored by was just a little sawed off guy. I don't know. He's probably about that high. But he was such a powerhouse for Jesus, you know, that I spent as much time as I could with this guy, you know, because he was just pouring into my life and the wisdom and the wealth of, you know, of knowledge and things that God had shared with him. He was sharing with me. And yet most people would completely diss this guy. They would not pay attention to him. They, you know, they just take a quick look at him and they made a quick judgment based upon the way he appeared. Understand that God is wanting us to have that inner beauty in us. Amen. And when we have that inner beauty, amen, it can reflect on your countenance and people can see the beauty of Christ in you. You know, when I was a kid, I never understood that. I used to just think, well, they're pretty or they're ugly, you know. And that's natural understanding, natural man, you know, until you start to grow and realize that that's really a beautiful person there. You know, I don't care what they look like in the natural. They have a beautiful heart. You know, Jesus has a beautiful heart. But in appearance, he was just an average guy. Because God didn't want people to look upon his, you know, on his image or in his likeness, his human image and base things or judge him according to that. But he wanted them to see, you know, the divinity in him and God's heart was being revealed through Jesus so that people knew there was much more to this man than what appeared on the outward. He was more than a carpenter, as one wrote. Much more. But it says, in our weaknesses, verse 4, he carried, it was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God. Well, he saved others. Why can't he save himself? They said on the cross. A punishment for his own sins. No, verse 5 says, but he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. And all of us, somebody say all of us, like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. And yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all, the iniquities of us all. Amen. Aren't you glad? You know, Jesus spent most of his time, guys, think about this, out of the limelight. Much of what he did was not in a crowd context. He would go out of his way to find the woman at the well. He did things for people on a personal daily basis. Because, again, he wasn't there to make a name for himself, but he wanted to make a name for his Father. He wanted to draw attention to the Father, not to himself. And likewise, as we are representatives of the Lord in this earth, we are to make a name for Jesus and not ourselves. Amen. Let God give us a name, all right? But don't give yourself a name. Let God give you that name. Okay. When he healed the leper in Matthew 8:4, it says, Jesus said to him, don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. When he healed the blind men in Matthew 9:30, then their eyes were opened and they could see. And Jesus sternly warned them, don't tell anyone about this. He didn't want to draw undue attention to himself. And when Jesus cast out the demon in the synagogue, again, he didn't draw attention to himself. But he was in a situation where he had to take care of business. In Mark chapter 1, verse 23, now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. You know, the devil's a show off. The devil likes to get attention, doesn't he? But on the day of his triumphal entry, today is what we call Palm Sunday, right? When Jesus came riding in on the foal of a colt, right? On a donkey, you know, all that changed. All that changed. In Luke 19, verse 29, I read, and it came to pass when he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. And of course they yielded. Why? Because Jesus already knew. Jesus knows everything. He really does. Amen? He knows everything. So what did he do? He sent his disciples ahead of him to get a colt that he was going to ride on his way into Jerusalem. So he told them exactly where they would find it and what the owners would say. And the disciples did exactly what they were told. This is key. You know, when God gives you an instruction, he's clear about it. And he expects us to do exactly what he tells us to do and the way that he tells us to do it. Because you and I can do whatever we want, whenever we want, however we want, because we have a free will. But what God is looking for is loyalty. God is looking for someone who will say, yes, Lord, I'll do what you ask me to do. And I'll do specifically what you ask me to do. If you are obeying the voice of God, two things are going to happen. Number one, he's going to release you to minister and serve in his kingdom. If you're willing to listen, he will have a vessel that he can use, right? That he can work through. And the second thing is that God's going to provide for you in that situation. He's going to release to you the resources that you need to do the ministry. As you heard it said, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. God will take care of that which he's called you to do. He will provide for you in that assignment, because God is faithful to his word. He will confirm his word even with accompanying signs. And sometimes accompanying sign is that God has provided miraculously in the midst of this situation. Now, Luke 19:35 says, then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Now, the colt or the donkey symbolizes two things, royalty and sacredness. And at the time of Jesus, and even before, the donkey was a prized and valuable creature that helped people do their work and put food on their table. And of course, the donkey was a beast of burden. It would lighten their load, right? And so also mules and donkeys were ridden by wealthy, powerful people. Now in America, that would not be considered, you know, a noble thing, be riding on a donkey. But in ancient times, this was very true. And sometimes even today. But they were ridden by wealthy, powerful people, as Solomon rode a mule to his inauguration, to being anointed king of Israel. So kings would arrive riding upon a mule or donkey to show their peaceful intentions. All right, think about this now. If a king came riding into town on a stallion, that had a different message altogether. That means we're here to, right, to declare war on you. But instead, when they came with peaceful intention, they would ride upon a colt, or they would ride upon a donkey or a mule to say that we're here, we come in peace. And I want you to think about something, because two things are going on here. Our Lord was coming riding on the foal, amen, on a donkey into Jerusalem. And we know that he is the Prince of Peace. Amen. So the Lord being our Prince of Peace was also, though, the King, amen, of kings and the Lord of lords. But this time, as he rode into Jerusalem, the message was, yes, I'm a king, but I've come, amen, to bring peace. Amen. So he wasn't coming to overthrow the Roman government. They were hoping that would happen, but to save the people from their sin. But he was coming not only as the Prince of Peace, but as the Messiah, amen, and the anointed one of God. He came as our sacrificial lamb, but also our great high priest. And Luke 19:37, then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice. Imagine that. For all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Interesting that they're saying peace in heaven and glory in the highest. They didn't say peace on earth, but peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And they were praising the Lord, amen, with loud voices. It was very demonstrative. All right. They chanted peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Well, there could not be peace on earth because the Prince of Peace would be rejected and crucified. Think about it. So why they weren't bringing attention? When he was born, he said, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Meaning that this was the promised Messiah. This was going to be, amen, the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. The one that would reconcile us back to God the Father. Amen. And we could have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we can have peace with our God in our hearts today by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Aren't you glad to have forgiveness? Amen. And to be right and have peace with God. And that's what the Lord has come to do. So right now we have peace in our hearts. In the world we'll have tribulation. In the world we have difficulty. In the world we have war. Amen. And rumors of war and all the craziness that's going on around us. Amen. But God wants us to know that we can have his peace even in the midst of this. And this peace is in his presence because he is the Prince of Peace. And my peace, he said to his disciples, I give unto you, not as the world, but I'm giving you my peace. It's a supernatural peace. It's not a peace that you can really understand with your own intellect. You can't put it in a test tube and study it. Amen. And figure it out. You just have to experience this kind of peace as you experience God and who he is. Hallelujah. So they weren't just worshiping in the quiet of their heart, guys. This was very loud and demonstrative with their expressions. And you don't need to wait to get to a church building, by the way, right? To have church. God wants you to be a worshiper, right? We praise God throughout our days. Hallelujah. God inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. So God doesn't want his people, amen, just to sit around idle. Amen. He says, if my disciples don't praise me, the rocks themselves will cry out. Okay, we're going to get to that in just a minute. But don't be afraid to clap or raise your hands or dance, right, before the Lord. Why? Because he's worthy. And the people were so excited. Here comes the Messiah riding, you know, into Jerusalem. He's going to save us. Hallelujah. And they were having a great celebration. Palm leaves being thrown along his route. How they thrown their clothes down. They threw their clothes, and their clothes were valuable commodities of that day. It's not like in America where you go to the Goodwill, it's like, yeah, there's tons of clothes in there, all right? But in that day, you know, your clothing was very valuable to you. And so they were taking something that was precious to them, and they were throwing it before his route, that he would walk on their clothing. Are you hearing? It was an offering to him. But on that day, they were laying palm branches down on the road and to welcome him into Jerusalem as Messiah and King. Now, John says in chapter 12, verse 12, the next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Now, palms were typically a sign of the Feast of Tabernacles or booths and anticipation of the coming of the Messiah. But this was actually Passover time. And this was Passover represented a time of repentance, sacrifice, and forgiveness. And yet he's coming, amen, as King and as also Savior. Jesus is both Messiah and Passover Lamb. And so on this particular time, the Lord can join the two feasts, and it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. Amen. Their praise and their worship. When Jesus did want to receive such praise, why? Now, listen to this. Why did Jesus want to receive praise? Now, I've heard people ask this. Why does God need praise? Well, it wasn't for his sake. And it wasn't that Jesus had, you know, a self-esteem problem or he needed affirmation. No, it wasn't for his sake, but it was for our sake. Jesus wants to be praised because we need to praise him. Because we need him. Because God is attracted to those who are attracted to him. God will show up where he's wanted. Amen. And when we offer praise and thanksgiving to God, amen, he inhabits the praises of his people, does he not? If you want God's presence, then you give God praise. And praise, amen, is good. Hallelujah. It's good for us. Amen. We get to say thank you back to the Lord, an expression of our gratitude to him. Amen. But God also knows that we need him. And as we give thanks and give praise to God, acknowledging his goodness in our lives. Amen. Because he is worthy to be praised for all that he's done for us. Come on, somebody. When you give a gift to your children, amen, you're hoping that they'll look past the gift and they'll give you some praise for that. They'll give you some thanks for that, all right? That they realize the heart of the giver, amen, and not just the gift. So when we come to God, we got to give God praise from our hearts and thanksgiving from our hearts, understanding that his heart towards us is that good. And it's not just because we're thankful we got a thing from God, but because we see how good God is and he deserves to be praised for the goodness that he's shown me in my life. And the goodness that he showed me in my life is not because I deserved it or I earned it, but because God is good. Because God is merciful. Because it was God's idea, amen, to send Jesus to die on the cross. The perfect one, the holy one, the sinless one, the one without blame, went to that cross on my behalf. The one who didn't deserve it. So let's be very careful that we don't get high-minded or proud or self-righteous and somehow thinking we're better than other people. Amen. It's only because God's mercy we are saved. We want to live right because we love the Lord and we want to honor his name. Amen. But it's not because we're so good. It's because God has been so good to us and God gives us the grace to be good. And so Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's what we're doing today, isn't it? Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You know, they were praising God with the things that they had in their hand. They didn't have much. They had clothing, you know. They had palm branches. They took whatever they had and they gave it to God. Amen. Are you hearing me, somebody? Because a lot of people think, well, I can't sing or I can't do this. I don't have anything. God, yes, you do. Give whatever you have back to God. Amen. Give thanks to God. Hallelujah. The Lord appreciates it, man, that you acknowledge him and his goodness in your life. See, the devil wants us to get angry at God and accuse God and think that God somehow is not good. That's the whole thing. That's how sin gets started. You know, that somehow God's holding out on you. God's withholding something from you that you really need. How many times has that been a failure? Every time, right? But there's always going to be, of course, in any celebration, stick in the muds. Somebody don't like that. Somebody don't like all that joy, all that excitement, all that praise, all that noise. Bruce and I was telling me he went to play at an old folks home one time. He's playing music with my dad. My dad played and Bruce was playing with him today. And this lady kept yelling out, what's that noise? What's that noise? I thought it was music, but it was noise to her, you know. You know, I really don't care if you sing well or not. Let's just sing to Jesus. Amen. He gave you the voice you have. Just give it back to him. All right. Just don't sing in the choir. No, I'm kidding. So the Pharisees, there they are, the religious stiff and starchies, called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Stop it. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. You know, guys, the idea of the creation praising God is nothing new. The Bible speaks of it, doesn't it? All creation will praise him. It talks about the trees, the hills, the oceans, the rivers, the mountains, valleys, cattle and creeping things. Birds and fields all giving praise to God. That's in the Psalms, isn't it? Psalms 148, Psalms 96, 11 and 12. And if the people didn't recognize him for who he was, he's saying the rocks would even cry out. Isn't it interesting that science is still trying to catch up to the word of God? But they're trying to discover, you know, that, hey, guess what? Everything operates by a frequency. The grass has a frequency. The rocks have a frequency. And everything has a sound. It's like a symphony of sound, doesn't it? Yeah, who is it? Lee Strobel. Who's the guy that did he did something about the stars and how the stars actually do make music. You know, the cosmos, everything makes music. Everything has a certain frequency and it's all harmonious. Amen. So everything is made up of sound in a sense. It's held together. And isn't it interesting that says that by the word of the Lord, everything is sustained, right? He sustains all things by the word of his power. So God spoke, let there be light, and there's light. Hallelujah. There's a frequency. Amen. At the sound of his voice. Before there was anything visible, there was first the sound of his voice. But you know, the Lord was heartbroken because he knew that because of the rebellion and the fact that the people of his day were rejecting him. Because very quickly, even within a week's time, it went from Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David, amen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord to crucify him, crucify him. And that's just how fickle people can become, you know, how quick people can just snap like that, you know, and shift. But, you know, you and I are no different than anybody else. If it's not for the grace of God, by the ability God supplies us, we can go there very easily. Isn't that right? So we have to guard ourselves. It's my responsibility to guard myself, to make sure that I guard what I say, and God gives us the power to do that. Amen. I get frustrated like anybody else. I have weak moments, but praise God, I have strength in the Lord. I can call upon Him. Amen. And I can draw near to God. He draws near to me, and He makes everything okay. And I've also learned how to get over myself and get over my mistakes and quit living in condemnation because I screwed up. But Jesus uttered this lamentation. He said, as He drew near, He saw the city and wept over it. And He said, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes. They missed the Lord's visitation. If they had only received Him as Messiah, it would have meant peace for them. Even as the disciples received the Lord's peace because they believed. And He was telling them, I'm giving you my peace. And the same thing is true today, guys. The world is full of anxiety and fear and torment because of a lack of the peace of God in their lives. Are you hearing me, somebody? And if people will realize who Jesus is and they will turn to Him, they can have His peace in their hearts, in their lives. Amen. And the Lord is grieving because He has made everything available for us today. Amen. Everything that pertains to life and godliness is freely given to us in Christ. He is giving us and offering us to have peace with our Lord. Amen. And yet people are rejecting Christ. And you know what happens when people reject Christ? They become blind. And they do things that are absolutely insane. You say, why would you do that? Or why would you receive that? Or why would you think like that? Because when we reject the revelation of God, when we reject Christ and His word, then blindness is the result. And so blindness has come upon Israel in part until now. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is removed and they realize that Jesus is the Messiah. Amen. And many Jews are returning, amen, to the land and returning to Jesus and recognizing that Jesus is their Messiah. Hallelujah. God is turning once again to His ancient people and the veil is being removed from their eyes. Because at one time they had rejected Him and blindness came. It was the result. And the same thing is true today. If people would turn to the Lord, God will remove the blinders and we can see clearly. Amen? Because He is the light of the world and He'll light up your darkness. And when you have light, you can see clearly. But they missed their visitation. He beheld His glory. You know, they beheld His glory. Now, of course, 600,000 Jews were slaughtered in 70 AD. The temple was destroyed because the Lord had warned them. He saw that happening and He gave them advance warning. Now, how many know that God does not delight in judgment? That's why He came. That's what the cross is all about. Amen. The Son of God. Amen. The Son of Man. He went to that cross. Amen. And the judgment that we deserved was placed upon Him. God does not want mankind to suffer His judgment. But because God is holy and God is a righteous judge. Amen. That He must judge sin. And if people refuse to repent of sin, then they will receive what they have earned. And that is the consequence is death. And God came that we might have life and life more abundantly. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but that all should come to repentance. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, sometimes people think, well, nothing's happening. I've been living like the devil for all these years. Nothing happened. It must all be a wise, old wives. I hate to use that, but old wives' tale. Everyone has an appointment with God. Everyone has an appointment with God. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. And to those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Aren't you glad? Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get your heart right with God. The price for sin has been paid in full. You and I can receive forgiveness. Hallelujah. That means the cancellation of debt. It will no longer be held against us. We have an advocate with the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have a great high priest who ever lives to make intercession for us. We just need to call upon the name of the Lord, and whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be rescued. So Jesus told them in verse 43, for days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation, because you did not know the time of your visitation. The Lord is saying, if you would have turned, if you would have come, amen, you would have had peace. But because of your rejection, these things will come upon you. You understand? God wept when he looked over Jerusalem. Why? Because his heart was broken. God takes no delight, no pleasure, amen, in a sinner that would perish. He takes no delight in the death of a sinner. You know, this time when he comes, he's not coming to be rejected. He's coming to reign, isn't he? As King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. In Revelation 19:11, it says, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, say it with me, and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. The Lord is not willing that anyone should perish. The Jesus, amen, our Lord, our Savior came, amen, as a suffering servant to give his life away, to pay the price for our sins. He was crucified and dead and buried, and on the third day he rose again from the dead, amen. And we know that from thence he's coming to judge the quick and the dead. I believe, amen, that Jesus is coming, hallelujah, and all the foolishness of men will be brought low. In that day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. All the arrogance of these politicians and these rulers around the earth, they're all going to bow their knee to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There will be no more foolishness, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, amen, even so. Here it is, 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Hallelujah. And now God is offering us pardon for our sins. Now God is offering us reconciliation. We can be reconciled. We can be made right with God. We can have peace with God. Aren't you glad about that? 2 Corinthians 5:18, I finish with this. Now all things are of God. Not of me, of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That would be me. That would be you. Come on, talk to your neighbor and say, that would be you, and that would be me. But he was not, what, imputing their trespasses to them and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So then we as ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Hallelujah. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become what? The righteousness of God in Him. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. We don't deserve this. But that's how good our God is. That's what He's done for us. Do you love Jesus today?
Yes.
You know, you love Jesus, you obey Him. Amen? We love Him so much that, Lord, what can I do for You? You've done all this for me. What can I do back? How can I love You back the rest of my life? Are you here today because you love Jesus?
Yes.
Amen. So we want to live and serve the Lord. Amen. So let's learn to know His voice, obey His word, amen, and do exactly what He tells you to do. And if you obey Him, amen, He will see that you are a faithful steward over His investment in you, and He can even increase that measure and make you even more effective for Him. Come on, somebody, because you're proven to be faithful over the little that He's already given you. Hallelujah. And we get to do this, guys. There's a dying world around us. Amen. That they need Jesus. They need to know that there's forgiveness. They need to know that there's light. Amen. In the midst of all this mess. That there is hope. Hallelujah. For here we have no continuing city. But we look for one to come. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. God has prepared a city. Amen. For His people. For His bride. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Hallelujah. Let's prepare, amen, the way for the Lord in our hearts. Let's be faithful. Let's be obedient to God. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank You today for the word of God. We thank You for the truth that sets us free, that keeps us free. Lord, You came that we might have life and life more abundantly. Lord, we thank You today that there is forgiveness available, that, Lord, You are willing even to forgive us. And Lord, we have all failed You. We have all messed up. We've all fallen short. But Lord, we want to be right with You today. We want to get our hearts right with You today. And so if you're here today and you say, you know what, I need to get my heart right with God. I want to recommit my life even to the Lord. I want today to be a new day, a new beginning for me. I want to commit my life again to Jesus. And I want to get back in the race. I want to get back, amen, in the plan of God for me. If you're here today, and that's you, then I'm going to just lead us together in a prayer and just pray this from your heart. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You for the cross that You bore on my behalf. Lord, I don't deserve You. I am a sinner. But Lord, You came to make me right, to forgive my sins, and to give me eternal life. Lord Jesus, I commit my heart to You. I give You my life, and I ask You to give me Your life. I ask You to come into my heart and be my Savior, be my Lord, rule over me, teach me Your ways, lead me in Your paths. I want to honor You with my life from this point on. Give me power by Your Holy Spirit to live for You. Fill me with Your holy power. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.